The Lord willing, for just a few moments, I'd like to speak in connection with a verse that's sort of been off and on my mind for a long time, and it actually has bothered me at times, because to me, when I first read it, it's sort of hard to grasp. It's sort of hard to understand. But if the Lord willing, this morning, for just a few moments, I know I'm not going to be able to cover all of this because it's a lot of ground. So maybe I can just introduce it to you. And I hope I can introduce it in a way that's understandable. It's one thing I learned over the years. A lot of times God blesses us and we're blessed to preach, and it's like a downpour or rain. I mean, you're really putting it out there. You're putting it out there as fast as it comes to you. You're trying to get it out there. But God's people hear it, and a small portion of it will find a lodging place in the heart, but the biggest majority of it runs off. It just, God's people just doesn't comprehend all of it. So I've learned over the years that we need to try to preach in a way that God's people understand what God requires, not what we require, but what God requires. And what he requires is this book. I say this book is God. It's Jesus. It's everything about him. But I'd like to take your attention into the book of Isaiah. He's one of the major prophets, and you'll find that that God here is against the false god of Babylon. And I won't take time to go into the background. But here, I'm going to just jump on down into chapter 46. And I'm going to leave out the most part of it. But you're going to find here that and let me start about verse 8, and I'm going to get 9 and 10. It says in verse 8, and this is Isaiah under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, and he says here, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. See, this is at a time that when God's people was in a state of rebelling or transgressing against that of God. And notice what he says in the next verse. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. So when you begin to look at it like this here, and it's Paul, I won't take that, but Paul, when he was over here, over at Athens, I think it was, he was walking about, and he began to look at all the subscriptions that they had up unto the different gods that they had, which were idol gods, which are no gods. And you're going to find out that he come upon one that says this a subscription unto the unknown God. And so they had subscriptions up for everything. And just in case they left out one, they put to the unknown God. We'll get them all in. That was their thinking. And here you're going to find out that he took that. He said, now let me declare unto you the unknown God. And he began to preach unto them Jesus. Let me drop down to the next verse here. Notice this verse 10. declaring the end from the beginning. That's always been a brain scrambler for me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. I looked that word pleasure up. Pleasure there means all of his plan or his desire. God says, I will do it all. And when you begin to look at it like that, let me back up just a little bit. Here it is. We're talking about a God, and Isaiah was moved to write about it, declaring. He's declaring the end from the beginning. Let me stop right there. Can we stand on a mountain and look to the ends of the earth? We can't do it. Our vision will be limited. We will not be able to see all the way to the end. But we're talking about a God here this morning that from the, I'm going to say the very instant of beginning here, if not a little before the instant of beginning, he stood and he looked. And with him standing and with him looking, brethren, I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but this here, to me, has been mind baffling for years. But he saw the end. That word end, that means the conclusion of all things. Well, if he could see the end and the conclusion of all things, don't you think God saw everything in between? I have said for many years that things that took place after time got started did not take God by surprise. Did not. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Frank. Well, if he saw the end from the beginning, how is it that God knew what was going to happen? If he saw the end, he saw everything in between. It's just like when you get ready to build a house. You got ideas. You got a plan. So what do? You draw a blueprint. And when you look at that blueprint, you're looking at the end or the conclusion of the building of that house. So God, from the very beginning there, he says here, declaring the end from the beginning. God declared it. In other words, that tells me time is on a timetable. Whether we like it or not. Man really don't like it, you know. I ain't got time to get into all the different things that man does try to outdo God. But you can't outdo God. You can't get above God. You know, mankind, he keeps trying and doing everything he possibly can, but you can't, you're just not going to get past God. Now, watch it. He said, declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. And I'll just deal with one thing that was not yet done. Oh, you say, wait a minute now, Frank. What do you mean, not yet done? Here in Isaiah was prophesying. And mankind at this time was still in his sins. Oh, you say, wait a minute now, brother. I'm going to say every man from Adam, every woman, every child from Adam up to this time was still in their sins. They had not been atoned for. They had not been taken care of. But see, God had a desire to save a people. You say, well, now wait a minute now. What do you mean, save a people? Who did he plan on saving? Mankind likes to look at it like this. God's going to save all of mankind. But that's not right. Not scriptural, brother. You say, wait a minute, Bro Frank. How in the world can that be? Let me hold on to my place here now. I want to flip you over here and take you into something else right quick that I think will establish beyond a shadow of doubt that God here we go. You say, well, what's going to be the reference scripture here to more or less prove that God did all of this? He declared the end from the beginning. He saw all things therein. Watch this now in Ephesians. We always go, I like to go here. This is good. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Here it is again. The apostle Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Isaiah, when he was prophesying, everybody was still in the sins. And notice here in Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us. This is God now. He chose us in him. In who? Who did God choose us in? Don't you think it was Jesus? It had to be.
Amen,
amen, brother. I got to, you know, I don't know about y'all, but this sort of brings joy to me. I got, well, since I ain't got no breath much, I done learned to slow down. And sometimes, Brother Frank said, you get more across than you used to. I said, well, thank you. But anyway, notice here, according as he, that word he there is God, hath in the past tense form, brethren, chosen us. Who is to us? Who is to us? Israel. God's people, brethren. God's people. Watch this. He chose us in him. The him here is Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God.
Amen.
Oh. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Frank. How in the world can you say that? Well, I'm thinking about an eternal covenant here, brother.
Yeah.
It's got to be. It's got to be. I can't see no other way. You say, wait a minute, I know I ain't going to have time to get through with this. But I sure do enjoy trying. But notice here. In him. Who was in eternity? My next question is, who was in eternity? It could not have been nobody but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Doesn't in 1 John says these three are one? Amen, amen, they're one. Okay. If God saw the end from the beginning, I'm saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit entered into a covenant. Entered into a covenant. Don't you think this is going to fit in with Isaiah's prophesying? I do think so. You said, wait a minute, my boyfriend. What was that saying? It done slipped my mind. I done forgot. Notice this. Go on back. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done. Now, this is something that was not yet done. Okay? He says here, in him, when did he do this? When? Before the foundation of the world. In other words, God did this back when there was nothing. Nothing but eternity. Nothing but eternity. You know, from a human standpoint and the human mind and the human thinking, the human mind cannot reach out there and grasp that in eternity. Cannot grasp that was there then. It can't do it. When Isaiah said God's ways is high above, man's ways are as the heavens are above the earth. Amen. And you know something else? He added something else there. And what God's ways is past finding out. Amen, amen.
Amen.
You'll never find out everything about God. All right, let me hasten on. Have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. All right. We were chosen before there was anything created, back before anything was made, before the foundation of the world. With that being the case over here, Isaiah in his prophecy, he declared the end from the beginning. If God declared the end from the beginning, I'm trying to show you some of the wisdom of God here now. If God declared the end from the beginning, over here, he saw all things down in there. He saw, back in the beginning, Adam transgressing in the garden. He knew he was going to transgress. That's why this eternal covenant is so important. Ooh, that's an awful lot going with this. But anyway, let me hasten on. Before the foundation of the world, I'm saying that God stood and he looked. And God saw what he was going to create, what he was going to do. And everything, and he saw man that he'd created. And he saw that man was going to fall in Adam, in the garden. And he was going to be cast out. Brethren, that's all of mankind. You say, wait a minute now, how can you say that? Well, Adam didn't know Eve until after they was cast out of the garden. So, as David said, I was conceived in sin, I was shapen and formed in iniquity. All right, well, that being the case there, those two boys that came forth then was in sin. You say, oh, wait a minute now. How do you know where you know of sin? Because this old flesh and the carnality of this flesh over here is jealous. Jealousy. Cain was jealous of Abel because God recognized his gift and did not recognize Cain's gift. And Cain was so jealous over the situation that he rose up, the scripture says, he rose up against Cain and slew him. All right, you got your first murder in the ball. Okay, I don't think that took God by surprise. God knew it. When he come to Cain, he can't get in all of this. But anyway, let me hasten on. He said, hath chosen him, chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Of the world that, of the world that should be holy. Now we're talking about a world that's going to be holy. See here, Paul, on the inspiration of the Spirit, that Spirit is looking at a fact here that it was holy in the beginning with the creation, with Adam and Eve in that garden. No sin. But then after Adam transgressed and was cast out, you got sin. Sin doesn't come into picture now. It's cast them out. And notice what he said. And of the world... Let me go back and read it all. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Don't you think this is something right on down the road? I do think so over here in Isaiah. I think Isaiah's pointing to this. You say, wait a minute, brother, how can you say that? Because he said, in things not yet done, and he said, oh, he had that all of his pleasure, in other words, all of God's desire, he will bring about. He will bring about. I don't know about y'all, but that gives me a chill. You know, you talk about that spirit coming before you and the hair standing on end. Amen, amen. I tell you, brethren, I have preached and I preached and I preached. And I tell God's people everywhere I go, this thing is real. You may not can't see it. You may not can't realize it over here, but it's very, very real, brother. God has made it very real to me. This morning, coming out here, is very real. You say, why? You have come out here. You have come out here to worship him and to adore him for what he's done for you. He's done something for you that no one else could do for you. You were in sin, brother. This is the reason why we die. This is the reason why I got so much health problem. This is the reason why I ain't got no breath much. It's because of sin, brethren. The sin is slowly bringing these bodies down. I think the Bible says, I can't remember exactly where it's at right now, the soul that sinneth what? Shall die. Amen, amen. We all head it that way. Okay. If God, in eternity, when man had fallen, he's standing here and he's looking now. Adam's fall didn't get him by mistake. I don't think the murder of Abel didn't get him by mistake, because that blood of Abel was crying out from the ground. That blood had life in it. That blood was crying out to the ground, from the ground to God. Amen, amen. Crying out to God. And then when God come before Cain, now I won't take time to get into all the curse that and everything he put on Cain, but Cain said it was too severe, and then he fled to the land of Nod, and Lord of mercy, have I heard all kind of stories about that. But anyway, God standing there looking. What did he see? What did he see, brethren? As God stood there and looked down through there, what he saw was, he saw fallen man. Fallen man. This man's in sin. Mankind is doomed. He's doomed for eternal woe and misery. But as God looked down through there, what happened? God saw a people. God saw a people over here that he loved. He loved them. Deuteronomy says not because they were a big, great nation of people. They were small, the smallest of all nations. See, God saw the nations. I'm telling you, this is sort of mind baffling. But even though he saw all of this down through the times over here. Now, keep in mind, in the garden was righteousness. Adam destroyed the righteousness. Now he's looking at mankind, all of mankind here in sin, and he's going to wind up in eternal woe and misery. And with that being the case, God saw a people that he loved. And with him loving that people, what happened? Don't you think God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit entered into a covenant? They had to. They entered into a covenant that he would save these people. He would save them. He would deliver them. And with him going to save them and deliver them over here, we got to have a Savior. They out of the Garden of Eden, they can't get back. God fixed it where you can't get back. Well, how in the world are you going to get back? How in the world? I've talked with a lot of people, a lot of mankind, brethren, and a lot of them's got the idea, all I got to do is, everybody says, believe on Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to tell you, there's a natural faith, and there's a spiritual faith, brethren. The things in this world, naturally, we can believe. Some of it. I can't believe all of it. But when it comes down to the things of God, how in the world can you believe the things of God? Let me see if I can. I want to turn to it right quick. And, boy. I asked them to put me up a clock. Let me see here. Here it is. Until I spend a lot of time in this book. Notice what he says here. Mankind's got the idea all he's got to do is do it. But watch this. The Apostle Paul, writing in the Corinthian letter to the church at Corinth, in verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14, he says, but that natural man receiveth not the things, natural man don't receive the things now, of the Spirit of God. That natural man does not receive the natural things of the Spirit of God. Does not. For they are foolishness unto him. Amen, amen. You ever got around some people here and started talking the Bible, and it makes them feel so uneasy and queasy and everything like that, and it ain't long before they want to go. It's something about it, brother. He can't receive it. Here, Paul says it's foolishness unto him. Well, if something's foolish unto him, he don't want to hear that. Is he going to get it? No. Is he going to believe? No. Because it's foolishness to him. Notice here, foolishness unto him. Watch this now. See, God's got it so fixed. Neither can he know them. That natural man can't even know it. If you taught him, that's why Isaiah here, he prophesied in the prophecy of Isaiah, he said you could take a wicked and ungodly man and put him in the land of righteousness and he still will not learn righteousness. He won't learn it. Okay, let's come a little bit farther. It's foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. For you to be able to discern or to understand mentally and comprehend mentally what's being preached or said there, you have got to be spiritual. Got to be. Raises another question, don't it? How in the world can you just go out here and say, Lord, I want to be spiritual? That ain't going to get it. That ain't going to get it. That was those that was natural back then. Let me see if I can remember his name right quick. Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He was a teaching instructor of Israel. But with him then, a teaching instructor of Israel over here, he heard about the new birth. He didn't understand it. And I'm telling you today, brother, that natural man in the world today does not understand it. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom that my Lord set up and established here in the world, brother, that is here today. Amen, amen. I think I'm looking at some of you out here that is a part of this kingdom. Amen, amen. Jesus said, you're going to have the... Boy, boy. Opening up the brain now a little bit. Jesus said, someone's going to say, lo, here's the kingdom, and lo, there's the kingdom. What did Jesus tell them? He said, go not after them. Because they're misleading to you. Misleading. Don't go out. He says, the kingdom is where? It's within you. My question is, if this kingdom's in you, if this kingdom's in you, how did it get there? Ain't but one way. I think my Bible over here in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, when he turned around and says over there, he must be born again. That center reference column in my Bible, and I try to get as old as back as I could get, it says over there, born from above. Yeah. Amen, amen. Right. Don't y'all like this? Amen. Don't this brighten up your day? I don't want y'all to do mine. It brightens up mine. That's another scripture. Let me see. First, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, it gets on down about verse 9 or 10, somewhere in that neighborhood there, where here it is, John is writing and saying, who were born not of the will of man, nor of that of flesh, nor of that of blood, but of God. That ain't exactly right, but that's close. That's close. We'll go look it up if there's any questions. Over here. So you're born because of that of God. That means God is coming into your heart and he's doing something. What is he doing? Didn't Ezekiel over here prophesy and say that he were, you got a heart in there, all right? You got a natural one that keeps you going. And with that natural heart, but you also, you got a hard and stony heart in there. Didn't Ezekiel say in his writings over here that God would do what? Remove the hard and stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh and love. You know, I've come over the years, for us to really understand love, brethren, you got to understand Jesus. Amen. You got to understand Jesus, brother. You got to. Okay? Well, if God, I got to hasten on here, boys. If God saw the end from the beginning, he saw a fallen people. He chose a people to get them out. Because I've had men tell me this was the most unfair thing they'd ever heard. And they said, I just came. They said, something wrong with you. I said, well, yeah, it probably is. But what God done, he saw the end from the beginning. He saw a fallen people. And it pleased God to save that people. It pleased him to save them over here. And you said, well, what about the rest of them? They tell me it's all of mankind. All of mankind's got a chance. Well, my question is this. Did God see all of mankind? Scriptures don't teach that. He saw people that he loved. What did he do with them other people? He left them just where they were at. He left them in that fallen state that Adam had plunged them there to. Brethren, I'm looking at you. I'm telling you, God has done something for you, brethren, and going to do it. This ain't yet done. It's done for your salvation is taken care of. There's so much in this. Boy, I see this thing. It just keeps broadening out. God has done so much for you. Let me go back. I want to prove that there is a covenant. Let me give you a proof text here, brother, if I can get to it real quick. Oh, Lord Frank. I asked them at Griffin if they would put me up a clock. Like y'all back there, I sort of like that. And they said, I said, don't I want to take my watch off? And they turned around and told me, said, Bro Frank, so when you take the watch off, said, it don't mean anything. And not only that, they said, if we put a clock back up there, I said, it still won't mean anything because you're the only one going to be looking at it. I said, yeah, but y'all won't. they looked at me and laughed. I said, what you need to do is try to get it. I want to go into Revelation in chapter 20, and then I'm going to try to hurry up and get out of the way right here. Let me just drop down about verse 12. I'm trying to hurry things up here. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Books. What book do you think was open? We talk about some books in that was written, I'm going to say from heaven or in heaven. Well, I can give you a good little thing on it. I'm going to say the books are open. It's more than one. I'm going to refer to the first five books of the Bible because that's the law. All right? Note 10. And the books were open, and another book was open. Those books was open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Notice what he's saying in there, more than one book. Watch this. According to their works. I had one in with me. Brother Frank said, you're messed up now. That's works. You got to live godly. In other words, you got to try to live good and outrun the devil to the day you die. Well, that ain't going to happen. The devil got you every day. You're being tempted every day. Watch this over here. And the books were open, and another book was open over here, and every man was judged out of the books were written according to their works. Well, if it's going to be based on work, don't you think that's going to get the child of God? I think it is. All right? How are we going to have good works? How? All right? Let's come down a little bit further. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Everybody that has ever lived and ever died, God knows where it's at, whether it's in the ocean or whatever. And that, notice here, gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. Now this hell is not the lake of fire. This is a different place. Ain't got time to get into that either. All right. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Amen, amen. We're talking about a general judgment here. We're talking about people coming before God. And you're not going to be able to lie out of your, you know, man tries to lie out and get out of things when he gets in trouble, you ain't going to be able to do it here. Notice here. He said, which way in them? And they were judged, every man, according to their works. You're going to find here, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Second death. You ever thought about that? What is the second death? Total separation from God. Even the ungodly and the wicked in this world today has got some of the blessings of God. I can prove that by scripture over here. But it's going to come a time when God separates and casts, I'm going to put it like that, when you're going to find out over here that, let me go back and read that. The lake of fire, this is the second death, that's going to be another death coming. And that death is going to be over here, the total separation from God, total separation. And whosoever, notice this, I like this one. Ooh. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All right? I'm going to try to wrap this up. There's some things yet that has not yet taken place, but they're going to take place. Isaiah said God's going to perform all of his pleasure, all of his desire, all of his plan, everything they wanted. What was his plan? To save a people that he loved. Go back in the book of Deuteronomy. You're going to find out the only inheritance God, out of everything he created and everything he made, the only thing God's going to get is the inheritance of Jacob. What is the inheritance of Jacob? God's people. God's people, brother. That gives me a chill. God's people over here. And you say, well, in other words, if your name was put in the Lamb in that book of life, let me put it like that. My question is, if all of this was done from the very beginning or in eternity here, my question, who put your name in the book of life? I'm going to say God did. That's the reason why. Over here in Matthew. See, this book fits. Whether we like it or not. I've run into some people who don't like it, but it does. It fits. And man can't change this, brother. God has so fixed it, man cannot change it. And he's got it on a time schedule. And when that time schedule comes up, mankind said, well, I'm building a space station in space. We're going to go and get in the space station. We'll still be living. They done built bunkers underground, deep underground, that's stocked with all kind of food and everything, enough to supply the people in Washington up there or the leaders that's in Washington. You know, I got to thinking about that. You said, wait a minute. Peter says over here the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. Well, if it's going to melt with a fervent heat over here, that down under the ground is going too. Going to be burnt. Going to be burnt. Well, we're going to the space station. I read over here where it says the heavens is going to be on fire. Can you imagine that? Looking up and the sky itself is nothing but a flame. And it's going into eternity. It's going to burn there. They talk about the black hole. There's a hole up there. I always, every time I hear him say anything about that, I always say, that's where God's at. They can't get there. God's there. Jesus is there. Can't get there. All right, you said according to their works. We're going to be a judge. It's not going to be our works, brethren, because we sin every day. But it's going to be the works of Jesus Christ. By the faith that God has given you. When you were born of the Holy Spirit of God, that faith that God implanted in the depth of your heart and in the depth of your soul, oh your brother, gave you the ability to believe and to trust and to rely on God. That's what all of the Old Testament prophets did. They trusted in God. How can you say that? Well, I'm going to say one thing. Abraham trusted in God when God said, get thee out of the land of the Chaldeans. He trusted in God, and he went. I'm trusting in God, brother, that it's going to be a day coming. And I ain't got time to go into 1 Corinthians 15, the day of the resurrection, brother. We're going to come out of those graves. We're going to meet him in the air. And the scripture says, and so shall we ever be. Let me give you one more. When the Lord's in the matter, I'm telling you what, December's as pleasant as May. I have to admit, I really enjoy it at times. There's been a few times that I've been up here like a guy I used to work with. He was a preacher, and he come here one Monday morning, and we was at work, and boy, he was over there, he was so down, and wouldn't say nothing, and all of that. And I asked him, I said, hey, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, well, I had to preach this Sunday, and he said, well, I'm going to tell you what the truth. He said, there wasn't nobody up there but me. He said, I don't think the Lord was nowhere around. Hey, brother, I've been there too. You got time when you don't feel like the Lord's anywhere around. Oh, God, what do you want to do? You just make the best of it you can. I've said a lot of times I want to hit the back door and go hide. That's what you want to do. But you can't do that, you know. You have to contend. I'm going to give you one more right quick. You remember over here in Matthew 25, if my mind serves me correctly, that there was those that when Christ said, when I was sick, you visited me. When I was in you administered to me. When I was in prison, you come to see me. I know y'all remember that lesson. All right. What did Jesus tell them? When did you do this? When did you do this? In a sense, they didn't. In a sense, they did. In what sense did they do it? They did it through Christ. Christ did it for them. He did our works for us, brother. And that's the reason why they could, Paul in Romans 4 could say that our faith that he's given, the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed or charged to us over here just like we done it. It's been charged to us. Been charged us. Amen, amen. I like that. That's why Jesus could say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared you from the foundation of the world. That was a kingdom. That was those others there in Matthew 25 that says, okay, Lord, when didn't we do all that? We did this in your name, we did that in your name. Lord, we have done a lot of great things. I'll say amen. They have done a lot of great things for mankind. But they're trying to take that and use that and say, if we did it for the Lord. What did Christ tell them? What did he tell them, brethren? He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting punishment. Amen, amen, amen. Next part of that verse says, I never knew you. Question. In what sense did God not know them and they are his creation? God did not know them in a covenant sense. He didn't know them from an eternal covenant sense. That's how I didn't know them. I tell you what, this thing been on my mind for a while. And I worked with it and wrestled with it, up and down, one side to the other. And boy, it was on my mind so heavy this morning, I said, Lord, if I can get some relief. Like Jerry Clower said when he was up that tree and there was that coon up there, and he called down to his buddy, I can't think of his buddy's name. He said, just shoot up here amongst us. One of us got to have some relief. I'll say amen to that. It's going to be a wonderful thing, brother, and I'll get out of the way with this. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I mean wonderful, brother. When we have to come and stand before him. And here it is. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, he's going to say, come ye, blessed of my Father. Blessed of the Father. In here, what? That kingdom. That was something that was prepared, a kingdom for you from the foundation of the world. God bless.